90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
This is Joseph Jackson, and I'm your host for Cowtown Conversations. Today, we're going to be having a discussion on Medicare and the Affordable Care Act, or as some people call it, Obamacare. And our guest is Susan Peavy with Peavy and Associates, if I have it correct.
Peavler.
Peavler and Associates. Good morning, and welcome to Cowtown Conversations.
Thank you.
A lot of people may not know that Medicare open enrollment period is from October 15th and ends December 7th. And the Affordable Care Act enrollment period, or Obamacare, is from November 1st to December 15th, which is a little bit shorter this year than what it's usually been, which goes to the 1st, usually went to the 1st. And that also, the president has ordered 90% of the advertising budget removed for the Affordable Care Act, and the site is now taken down on weekends for maintenance. And those are some of the biggest times that people would sign up because they would catch him at churches. But to those things that he's done to try to just credit the program, we've had more people sign up this year than we had sign up last year at this point.
Well, that's because a lot of people need the coverage for sure.
And you, can you tell our listeners your name and what you do?
My name is Tim Canyon, and I work with Susan, and also have my own independent agency and help people with the ACA.
Okay, so we're going to start with Medicare. Miss Susan, tell us a little bit, what should consumers be looking for this year in the Medicare open enrollment period? I know some people want to know if they can keep their same doctor, or if they want to, if a hospital's in their network. What are some of the things that people should be looking at? Because I know everybody's looking at things based off of cost.
Well, cost is a big concern for everybody, but you definitely want to base your decision on if your doctors are in the network. Are your drugs covered under this plan? How much will they be? Different things are important to different people. Some people, their most important thing that they want in a plan is a hearing aid benefit. Some people are looking for a dental benefit. So between all of the different plans that are offered here in the Kansas City area for your from your major carriers, you know, those things exist. So what we do is we just try to personalize the plan for each individual and find the one that fits for them best. And we do that by analyzing their drugs and analyzing their doctors and analyzing their needs.
So I know the Affordable Care Act has a special enrollment period. Does Medicare have a special enrollment period? And if so, could you tell listeners a little bit how that period works?
Yeah, it's from October 15th to December 7th each year. And during that time, you have the ability to change plans that would become effective the 1st of January for 2018. There are a couple of special election periods through the year. If per se, you move out of the coverage area and you need a new plan if you move out of town, or if you might retire during the year and leave your job, that would give you a special election period. But most people fall in the category of between the special election period in October 15th to December 7th, that's the time that they have to change plans for the coming year.
I know we were discussing off air, if you are covered by if you're still working past the time that you're eligible for Medicare, do you have to enroll for Medicare and have double coverage? What is the situation with people in that particular boat?
Well, you wouldn't want to do that, because as soon as you enroll for your Part B, you're going to have to start paying for it. And that's about $134 a month. I don't know yet if it's going up in January. We haven't been notified of that yet. But if you've got coverage and you're 65 or 67 and you haven't retired yet and you still have employer coverage, it would be silly to take out your Part B at this point. Once you leave your employer, then that would give you that special election period. We could get you signed up with Part B, and you would start paying that Part B, that $134 each month, starting the beginning, the first month of when you've left your job.
So you get to save a little bit of money.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
Until you're going to actually have to use it later.
Yes. Yes.
So that's definitely a great thing.
Yes.
So do you, the people that you see now coming and looking for help, what are the, you said they're looking for hearing aid benefits. What is, can you name like the top three benefits that people are looking for? I know it's my doctor in the network, because that is something that definitely, if I don't take a plan that my doctor's in, then I'm going to end up paying more out of pocket to go see my same doctor. And I know a lot of people talked about, are concerned about the medicines,
right,
and then deductibles. So what would you?
Right. Your doctors normally are number one, and then the drugs are a real close second, is what we're looking at. People, they'll ask about your dental, but they want to know, is my doctor in the network? How much is it going to cost me to go see him? And then how much are my drugs going to cost? Because those change every year a little bit, and you have tiers of drugs. And then every plan is a little different as far as the company putting it out on what they call a formulary, because that's what your drugs are based on. And each company has a formulary, so we can just put your drugs in and tell you what companies are going to cover them at what level. And that. And then in all these plans, they're network and drug driven. So you get all these solicitations in the mail. What you want to do is find out who your doctor works with. And that will help you make a decision, because that's what we're going to do, is we're going to look at that and say, okay, all right, your docs are in this and this plan. Now let's look at the drugs.
So a lot of people don't know that sometimes the mail order drugs are a whole lot cheaper than getting the formulary, than going to the pharmacy. And is that, it's kind of like the Amazon principle. You can buy it cheaper on Amazon than you can get it by going to the regular store. Is that something people should start to begin to look at, to see where they're, if they can get those drugs, if they can maybe get a few day supply from a doctor, maybe some samples, and then begin to get those mail order?
Yes. That's an excellent point. And this year, the carriers are moving, they're really pushing folks to that more and more. On their tier one and two drugs, which tend to be a lot of your maintenance drugs, if you'll do those through mail order, you'll either have a low to a zero copay for a 90-day supply. And then those prescriptions are going to be delivered directly to your home, so it saves you a trip to the pharmacy, and the price is right, because you can't beat a zero copay.
So you can stop, you can save time by not having to go to the pharmacy and wait in line, and then you can turn around and get it for free instead of paying for that your copay or the donut hole that you end up. As we look at the plans, though, will we begin to see the increase of the donut hole again? Because I know a lot of people were looking at the situation where, you know, the prescription drug coverage didn't cover, there was that big gap or the donut hole that people mm-hmm. had. So will we begin to see the donut hole reemerge as maybe a factor in people starting now, I need to look at getting it delivered to my house instead of me going to the pharmacy and picking it up?
Well, the donut hole isn't going away.
Okay.
And the donut hole is part of what your total drug cost ends up being. And so that really hasn't changed that much. What changes is what level some of the drugs are at. And in fact, this year your max out of pocket on the drug side is $5,000, and last year it was $4,950. It's supposed to be phased out by 2020, but we have no idea what that's going to look like. So for 2018, you still have what it is you have your copays to your drugs and the prices of the drugs, and once all those total $3,750, you end up in the donut hole. So that's very similar to what it was in 2017. So if you hit the donut hole in 2017 in a given month, you're probably going to hit it the same way in 2018.
So what can a person who's on Medicare do to lessen the donut hole so that they're not coming out of pocket so much with more money for formulary medications?
Well, one of the things is if you can take a generic, that's going to help. Although some of the generics now, they're not that much less than the brand name drugs. So it can be very difficult if you're on some expensive drugs because you're going to run into it. If you're low income, there are low income subsidies to help people pay for those drugs in addition to their Medicare Advantage plans or a Part D plan, depending what type of coverage they have. So there is some help for that. But if you could buy the generics, some of the plans now will pay for those for your tier one and two drugs even through the donut hole. So that helps quite a bit. But if you have someone who's on some very expensive brand name drugs, right now there's not much help for that for those drugs once you get in the donut hole.
I want to just interject one other thing. A lot of times what I'll do for people is even just look on Costco.com, because sometimes you will find a drug that's a tier four in the formulary, and you go on Costco.com, and it will be way, way less expensive. So instead of funneling that through your insurance company, you could just go to Costco and buy it, and then the cost of that total drug wouldn't play into the donut hole at that point, since you're getting it completely separate. And sometimes that's the way to go. It just depends.
And I know Costco used to have it to where you didn't have to be a Costco member in order to use the pharmacy. So that made it easier so people can go in there. If you were a Costco member, you would get it cheaper. But the Costco everyday low price was going to be, I'd say, about only 60% of what some of the other companies would charge. So you see a savings there. And then not having to buy that membership and being able to go in there and get your medications, that was a great thing, because I used to do it with family members. I'm like, well, no, we go online, you look at the prices, because online is your first shopping spot right now to see what the medications are, because, you know, Walmart.com may have one price, Costco has another, and there some
but they're usually the lowest.
Yeah, no, Costco's always the lowest.
We'll check Costco and Walmart, and usually they're the lowest, so
yes,
it's usually a good way to go.
So as we begin to transition from talking about Medicare to the Affordable Care Act, is there any other things left that people should really be looking at when they go to evaluate their Medicare this year to ensure they're getting the best benefit for the cost of the spending?
Well, you look at the plans, and once again, you go back to the docs. If you want to be sure to try to keep your docs, then that's what you want to look at, and then you'll look at the formularies. And one other thing on some of these expensive drugs, people should also check with the manufacturer of these drugs, because some of these really high drugs, they have manufacturer coupons that may say, okay, well, this drug costs this much, you can get it for $18 a month, let's say. And so check with that. If you've got certain chronic illnesses, a lot of them have foundations, and they may have drug assistance. And then ask your doc if they're aware of any programs, because there's a number of things you can look at that may help.
And also ask him if he has those free samples
so you can get
that mail order instead of go to the pharmacy and wait, because you will find it's a whole lot cheaper via mail order
than it is going
in there. And that in today's times, especially if you've retired and on a fixed income, you're able to save yourself a lot of money per year, thousands of dollars per year. And you may, as we were saying, not get to the donut hole. Right. So as we begin to look at the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare as a lot of people see it, there are more people signed up this year. What are you seeing from people, other than just wanting health care coverage? What are the top things that you're seeing that people are really trying to ensure that they get when they sign up for the Affordable Care Act?
Well, they want to get coverage, but they want to be able to afford it, and they want to be able to utilize it. And the Affordable Care Act is strictly income-driven. And the crazy thing about it is, if you don't make enough money, you can't get on it. There's a gap in Missouri and Kansas because we don't have the extended Medicaid in our states. So if you have a person out there making $10,000, $11,000, they don't make enough to qualify for Obamacare, but they may make just too much to get any assistance from Medicaid.
Correct.
Because Medicaid is very rigid on your financials, and if you've got $1,500 in the bank, you're not going to be able to get Medicaid. And you still may not be able to get into the Affordable Care Act. So it's real dicey for folks with low income. You got students that are working part-time. It can be very difficult to find that.
As we were saying earlier, the Affordable Care Act open period is from November 1st. until December 15th. So if you're looking for changes, you want to change a provider, you have 2 weeks shorter this year to be able to do it. But also, there is a special enrollment period if you've had a certain life-changing events, including like you lose your healthcare coverage from your job, you move, you may get married, may have a baby, or adopting a child. And if you qualify for a special enrollment period, you have 60 days from the date of the event to enroll in that plan. So there are benefits and open other periods where you can get things done right. If you've had that significant change. You have to have that change right. In order for that event to kick in.
Change. Heck, for many students that are turning 26, when they turn 26, they're going off their, if they're on their parents' plan, they're going off that. That's a special enrollment period. So, and if you have a change in life, if you move, you get a job, you lose a job, you lose your benefits for some reason, there are many times we can go ahead and get you on a plan. So this year, we have very few choices in Missouri and Kansas.
Now, we know that in some situations that your deductible may change this year because of that, but also if you were to, say, lose your job and you're on the Affordable Care Act, you know, the amount of your premiums, that next month people can go in and change and let the Affordable Care Act office know that they've lost their jobs and their amount of the premiums would go down. What do you advise people to do in that situation?
In that situation, what you have to do is you have to call healthcare.gov, which is the ACA. You call them, and then you give them your ID numbers and tell them what your life change has been, and then they will make the appropriate changes on that. And the other thing is, for those folks that are still thinking about enrolling, what they ask for is what your anticipated income will be for 2018. So some folks who are, if you're not working right now, but you've got a lead on a job, you think you're going to make some money, you can go ahead and anticipate that I'm still going to make X amount of dollars next year and get your coverage, because that can put somebody between a rock and a hard spot sometimes.
And I know if you get a job and you don't call in and change it, then you can find yourself at the end of the year owing some of that payback, having to pay back some of that funding that you received as a financial aid assistance.
It's true. There is a clawback if you make too much money than in 2018. If you say, okay, I think I'm going to make 15, and you end up making 25, okay, they're going to want some of that premium assistance back.
So it's important for you to kind of keep that new job and you've had it for 3 or 4 months, then it's time to start to evaluate how much am I going to make so I can prepare for that clawback instead of claw back all of it at the end of the year.
Right. So so that's what the whole thing's for, is there's assistance there, and then as you start to make more money, then you want to reevaluate and call them and say, okay, I'm making X amount now, so I don't need as much assistance on that. So it's all up to how a person wants to do it. But if you say 15 and you make 25 or 30, they're going to want some money back.
So as we see the fluctuation in the healthcare market, the number of providers entering the arena, the number of providers that may be losing the arena, you know, none of us has a crystal ball, but what do we see forecast for the future for healthcare cost?
They're going through the roof. The premiums this year are unbelievable. I've got people that are they're in the last year or two before they go to Medicare, and they're making $50,000 or $60,000 a year. Well, they don't get any assistance at that. If you hit about 60 and you're 60, you're not going to get any assistance. And that premium, I've got some people that are going from about $600 a month for a $6,000 deductible plan. It's going to go up to almost $1,000 for a $6,000 deductible plan. So if you think about that, someone's going to spend $18,000 out of their pocket before the insurance pays a dime. So it's very scary.
So in that case, you need to make sure that you look at, ask your doctor for samples, try to use mail order pharmacy, all the different things that you can do, but also make sure that you're enrolling in the right plan.
Right.
Because if you're not enrolled in a plan that you may need coverage for, or you may have options, it doesn't cover what you need, then you're still in a situation where you're still going to be paying out of pocket.
Right. So what you do is if you've got several chronic illnesses, and you know that I'm spending $1,000 a month on drugs and I have to go to the doctor every 2 weeks, then you're going to want to buy a richer plan. And that's where you need some help, because even with the government website, it gets a little confusing. And then based on your income, you may not realize that while it says my deductible is $500 and my out-of-pocket's $1,000, that underlying plan you have may be a $4,250 plan. And then you can get hurt on that, because if they get a clawback, it just gets confusing and can get real expensive. So you have to sit and visit with someone, especially if you've got a lot of needs.
And, you know, as our baby boomers retire and the pharmacy corporations are banking on them to build their profits for the next 10 to 15 years, they have to look at these ways, because now they don't have as much disposable income as they once had, but they have to find those different ways to get the best health care that they can get at a price in which they can afford every month.
Right. And it's right now that's almost getting out of sight.
So the affordable is not affordable anymore. So yeah. One of the things they've discussed, I know one of the senators put in there, was to alleviate the penalty for people who didn't have health care coverage. That's one of the proposals for the tax changes. What do you all think about that? Is that because there's no incentive right now? If you don't qualify, if you don't sign up, then you get penalized on your taxes. But if they remove the penalty, wouldn't less people sign up that needed coverage?
No, I don't think so at all. First off, that penalty, it's $695 a year. It was supposed to go up to, it was an odd number, $2,100 or 2.5% of your adjusted gross income, whichever was greater. Well, they didn't do that. So the $695 is not that scary if you're 30 years old and the premium is going to be $500 a month for a $5,000 deductible plan. Say, hey, you know, take the $695.
It'd be cheaper for you to do that than to get yourself into a plan that you could not afford.
Right. Because a 30-year-old, well, many people, if I've got a $5,000 deductible, they don't see any value in that. So why am I going to pay for it? I'd rather pay the penalty and call it a day.
Well, also, the way the insurance companies are set up is that those that are younger have less frequent trips to the doctor. They're not worried as much about care. So they're basically supplementing for those that are older that are on, you know, three or four different medications that are very expensive. Mm-hmm. So in their mind, you know, it's just cheaper for me. That $500 is the cost between me having an apartment every month and me not having an apartment. And I'm not going to use health care maybe once or twice. And with the health care nets here in Kansas City, you've got the Kansas City Free Care Clinic. You have the, Swope, and you have other places where you can go get low-cost care. Mm-hmm. They find it cheaper for them to do that than to go ahead and sign up for a policy.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And so that's what you're up against, because they've priced the young people, the people they need, they're priced out of the market. Unless they've got a chronic illness, and then you're just exchanging dollars. But if you have a chronic illness and you're not making very much money, hey, the Affordable Care Act's outstanding.
So as we start to wind down, top three things that people can do to ensure that they've got the right Medicare plan, and then we'll do the top three things that people can ensure they do they have the right affordable health care plan.
Okay.
Top three things people can ensure that they have the right Medicare plan. I would say first, sit down with an advisor. Sit down with a certified, licensed agent and lay out your life, your doctors, your drugs, your conditions, your concerns, your worries, your wants, and let that advisor help you. A lot of people wonder, well, how do you get paid? Do I have to pay you to do this? And you don't. We get paid from the carrier. We get paid the exact amount, same amount of money, whether we sell a policy A or policy B. It doesn't matter. So the customer doesn't pay us. And I think that's a lot of someone's concern. But sit down with an advisor. Let us analyze your needs and let us tell you what we think is the best plan for you.
Okay. So analyze the needs, sit down with the provider, and then probably add to that you ensure that you do maybe have medicines delivered to your home versus you having the medicines being picked up at the pharmacy and ask for those samples if the doctor has them. So that could, because I think they're so fast now with mail, you can get your mail in about, you can get your medicines in about 10 days. And if you can get your doctor to give you 10 days worth of samples, then that definitely is it. But I know a lot of people don't, they may have prescriptions for medications that they may be filling and not taking. That's something maybe they need to make sure that they look at, that they're taking all the medications, because if not, sure, they're spending money that they don't need. Okay. So then on the Affordable Care Act, what are the top three things that you would definitely recommend, Jeff, on what people should and shouldn't do?
Well, one of the things you want to do is, if as an advisor, if you're confused, ask someone. And many times it's better to try to find somebody local to talk to, because every part of the country is different. And if you're talking to somebody on healthcare.gov, many of those folks don't have the experience to give you the solid advice to help you in your marketplace. So, and once again, now some advisors on the ACA are charging, they're asking for fees because, for instance, Cigna does not pay agents a commission. And then the other new one that came into Kansas City is Ambetter, and they pay a little bit. So we've got that. And then on the Kansas side, you have Ambetter, and you have a company called Medica, and they do. So, but those are your two choices in Missouri and Kansas. But get with an advisor, because they can help if you're confused on that. Check and see if your doctors are in the network, because there are fewer and fewer docs in the ACA right now as it stands. So you want to look and try to find a doctor that you can go to. And then check what your out-of-pocket expenses are anticipated versus what the premium is. Because if you're going to have to pay it one way or the other, pick something that's going to work for you. Because insurance is a tool. If you know how to use it, it works great. If you don't know how to use it, you never get any benefit from it.
And so do you also need to maybe check to make sure, if you're a person, you may like Hospital A versus Hospital B, to make sure that your hospital is in that network?
You want to check that, but sometimes the way it stands right now, you may have to change. And you may have to change your providers. It's very tight right now, on the especially the ACA side. It's very narrow, so you really have to check it out and see what you've got, and then check what subsidies are available, because the subsidy, that's what's going to help you with the ACA.
Okay, and so we definitely, if someone wanted to give you contact you all to help, you have number, information, and email that you can possibly give them, or a location where they can possibly give you all a call?
Sure. We can provide you a phone number and email, and they can...
So, yeah, you can call me at 913-940-0705, and I can let Tim know you need help with the Affordable Care Act or Medicare or whatever it is that we can help you with. But definitely give us a call, because this is confusing and time is running short, and we don't have that much more time to... get you settled for the coming year.
Thank you, Susan and Tim, for being our guests this morning. So we've now learned something, what we can do to kind of save our healthcare costs. We never end Cowtown Conversations without our Community Minute. Representative Brendan Ellington's Thanksgiving dinner is going to be this Wednesday, November 22nd at Brush Creek Community Center from 4 to 6. And Key Realty Group is hosting a Thanksgiving Day dinner this Saturday at 3732 Benton Boulevard from 1 to 5. And if you have any questions on that, you can give them a call at 816-469-5350. Next week, we're going to be talking about holiday suicide awareness, because it's the holiday time of the year. Some people may be depressed, and suicide is one of those things. So we're going to be talking about that next week. So join us next week on Cowtown Conversations, so we can always make sure we're taking care and take care of our people. We're going to have a happy holidays.